Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
We're
connected by telephone, so hang on.
Wonderful.
I'm going to find Adrienne now. She went to take a break. And where you want to sit? Back. Okay, I'll bring the clock in.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I apologize for this. You see, we've been having this issue starting from yesterday, so we got ourselves a backup system. All right, so let me tell you how this goes. We do have four segments. And they're about 9 or so minutes each. I know when they end, so if you hear me talking a lot, it's because I don't want you to get cut off. The best is, you know, good-sized answers, but not going on and on because I'm polite. I don't cut you off, but I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
The other thing is that we have a few things to cover.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would know the answer to this question, but I'll let you know. If there's one thing that you want to be absolutely sure you get out so that I make sure I ask you that question, what would it be? Just give it to me in a nutshell, and then you'll get a chance to talk about it more. But the one thing you want our audience, who are mostly baby boomers, they are fairly affluent, mixed gender,
yep.
You know, concerned people. What
sure.
would you like them to know?
I'd like them to know about our efforts and really guide them because we do so much that
right.
is far beyond, you know, a few 9-minute segments that they can learn all of the work that we do, the comprehensiveness of it at cbhfoundation.org.
Okay, good. So I'll give you a lot of opportunities to give that website out. We're going to begin by talking about Senior Poor Project, and I'll make sure they know it's part of
yeah.
the Catherine of Violet Hubbard Foundation, one of the projects, but I do want to start with that one. I want to talk about the importance of pets to older adults and mm-hmm. to successful aging, and then some of the efforts that you're making, you know, some of the challenges. Then we will talk in another segment about how one starts one of these incredible organizations, because I know the catalyst was a tragedy,
mm-hmm.
and how you group responded to that tragedy, because there are actually a lot of people out there that might want to do something like this, something big like this in response to things. They just don't even know how to get started.
Yeah.
So we could talk about that. Then we can talk about other things that the foundation does, and, of course, the usual what's next kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that
perfect.
Good?
That okay. is perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do, and I'm going to tell Stuart that we're actually ready.
Great.
Hold on a second. When we do the other type of recording, we can't hear any music. But in this recording, we actually can hear some of the music. And so he's going to play it, and I'm going to start it as soon as the music is played out, and you'll hear it, and you'll hear me introduce. Now, I did want to say Jenny Hubbard. Is
yes.
that the way to pronounce it? Okay, that's what I want to know. And what's your full title?
My full title is Executive Director of the Catherine
okay,
Violet Hubbard Animal Sanctuary.
Okay, that's what I want to know. So not the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation, but the Catherine Violet Hubbard Animal right?
Sanctuary. Yep.
Animal Sanctuary. Okay, good. Very good. And that's under
okay,
the rubric
you guys ready?
Of the foundation. Yeah, we're ready.
Yes.
Right,
okay,
go
good.
Ahead,
so
Stu.
I need ten seconds of silence, please.
With us, good luck. But okay, we're going to try.
Well,
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging. Now, here's something funny for me to say. May is Older Americans Month. Why is that so funny? Because here on Generation Bold, every month is Older Americans Month. What do they need a month for? We're here all the time. But yes, we occasionally become invisible. And today I want to tell you that I started the morning with a conference at the United Nations, something called the GNEC. It is the United Nations efforts to make cultural diversity available to everybody, to protect it from all kinds of cultures, and actually to look at culture as a way of peacemaking. And it was very interesting, and the reason I was at this particular meeting, because you all know that I'm part of the NGO on Aging for the United Nations, was that we created a film. And that film was almost four minutes, of elders, older adults, people of a certain age, carrying on their cultural traditions all over the world, even from countries, and I've been to 100 countries as of this year, even countries I've never heard of. So it was an incredible occasion to not just applaud cultural diversity, but the role that older Americans have, older people from all over the world. We had Guyana and Australia and Suriname and you name it, tea ceremonies from Japan. Celebrate these traditions and carry them on. And as I said, without memory, there is no culture. And we are the memory of the world's cultures. So please take a look at that. If you go to adrienneberg.com, you will be able to see a link so that you can see the recording. What we do is always free. Now, today I want to welcome the executive director of the Catherine Violet Hubbard Animal Sanctuary. It's under the rubric of a much larger foundation, the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation. The director is Jenny Hubbard, and her particular love, and what we're going to be talking about today for Older Americans Month, is animals and older adults. I've written many times that one of the most important things that we need as we age is life purpose, and I'm not the only one. I'm a follower on this one. I usually call it purposeful living. And in that, not only is the ownership of pets so important, but because, and this is the sad side of aging, sometimes loneliness is the dominant emotion of people over a certain age. And what can prevent some of that, help some of that, their camaraderie with their pet animals, and it all costs money. And in many of my books on how to not go broke at 102, I even show you how to incorporate the cost of having a pet into your retirement budget. It is so important. But not everyone can do that. Sometimes people need help. And that's why the Senior Poor Project of the Hubbard Foundation and the Hubbard Animal Sanctuary is so important. And here we have Jenny to talk about it with us. And there'll be a lot more to come, particularly if you would like to be one of those movers and shakers. If there is a time of crisis, if you see something that you need to change in this world, we'll be showing you how a few people can take a crisis and turn it into a solution for so many. So thank you so much for being with us today, Jenny.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Well, before we even go into the Senior Poor Project, just tell us a little bit about the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation to begin with, because that's the umbrella organization that does so much. We'll learn a little bit more about what they do later, but what is the foundation and when was it founded?
The foundation was started in 2013, in January of 2013, in response to my daughter Catherine's death. She was one of the first graders that was lost in the tragedy at Sandy Hook and elementary school. And the foundation was started, and the work that we did was to honor her commitment and her love to all animals. We believe it or not, began our work here at the sanctuary as part of that foundation's mission of honoring Catherine. and her memory because of a typographical error in her obituary. We had, in December, when we were burying Catherine and doing all of the rites and rituals of that time, was writing the obituary, and I felt like it was important to honor her memory with contributions in her memory going to the Animal Control Center. And I left out the word control. And so contributions went to the Animal Center of Newtown. It was a small nonprofit that rescued cats and dogs, and they described their vision for the contributions that came out in Catherine's memory as a place of to create a place of healing, a place where children could see their innate beauty in the eyes of an animal that they encountered. And since that time, over the past 9 years, we've created a sanctuary where all humans see their own innate beauty and are able to have purpose and provide care to all of the animals that they encounter.
So this is such an interesting, almost fate, almost manifestation. You know, sometimes we have New Age gurus on our show, and they would say, that was no accident.
Yeah.
They would say, Jenny, leaving that word out was no accident.
Right. I have heard that, yes.
Yeah, that was the universe calling you to make a mistake that was going to make a difference, which I love that word, by the way. I love that phrase. Make a mistake that's going to make a difference. Don't worry about your mistakes until they play out the entire hand. Now it is Older Americans Month, and I'll be honest with you. I go on a soapbox. I don't even like that. Because I think that it's calling us out as something special when, in fact, we're everybody. If you're not going to become older, what are you going to become? So, but, all right, if they have to give me a month, I'll take a month. But let's go on to this issue of older Americans and pets.
Yeah.
You have done a lot of research. You have done a lot of reading, and you've done a lot of promotion of the issue of the importance of pets in the lives of seniors. So tell us a little bit about that.
So the work that we do at the sanctuary, it honors the human-animal bond. We believe that the difference that we can make in honoring, while honoring Catherine's commitment and passion for animals, is preserving the bond that exists between humans and their animals, and making sure, because Catherine's purpose in the animals that she cared for was making sure that they knew that she was kind and they'd be safe. And so as we started considering the best way to make an impact in honoring that bond, there is a population of people, older adults, who have pets and who are compromising their own care to be able to care for the animals that in way too many circumstances becomes their only sense of companionship and purpose. And all too often, those pets become a financial, a medical, or just a care burden, and they end up surrendering their pet into the shelter system. And older adults lose that connection and that sense of purpose. And the pets, we found older pets are in the shelter system 7 times longer than their younger counterparts. And so nobody wins in the situation, where often what we've discovered is that if we can provide fundamental support, just basics of veterinary care, and offset some of those costs that might be an easy cost for someone who has a job and that's not on a fixed retirement income, a $250 vet bill is a challenge, but it's doable for an older adult to go to the vet and pay that kind of fee for an annual exam can take a huge hardship. And so we offset those, allow that person to maintain the health and well-being of their pet while preserving the relationship.
Well, I think this is wonderful. We're going to talk about it a lot more, what people can do. We're going to send them to your website. And we're going to talk about something that's a little bit of a reversal. Not older pet owners only, but the older pets themselves, which you'd certainly mentioned. Before we take a little break, just give us your website right now for those people who want to go on it now and take a look to see what you're doing.
Yes. More information on this and all the programs can be found at cvhfoundation.org.
And CVH, of course, stands for Catherine Violet Hubbard. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you guys go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, very, very good. You see how it goes real fast, right?
Yep.
He's going to come back in a second. When we come back, I do want to talk about the issue of the older pet and the sanctuaries. I know you've placed at least 20 animals, but were they young ones or the older ones?
They were older
the animals
pets.
Themselves.
Yep.
They're old pets.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about what it takes to adopt an older pet and a couple of other interesting things. About that. All right, Stu, we're ready to go. So he has to take a few seconds to regroup. And I will ask you to mention that you make contributions to the ASPCA and other places like that as well.
Hmm.
So we'll be quiet now.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. We're going to do a little bit of housekeeping now, and then we're going to get back to our guest, Jenny Hubbard. She's the executive director of the Catherine Violet Hubbard Animal Sanctuary. We're talking in honor of Older Americans Month, the issue of older pets and older owners. And her foundation in the sanctuary does provide sanctuary for pets, gives donations to the ASPCA and many other organizations that you know and may already be donating to, but also does a lot of work for older folks who want to hang on to their pets, care for their pets, continuing the life purpose that pets give them, but maybe can't afford all the costs, particularly for older pets. We'll talk about that in a moment. But on our housekeeping, I want to relate that. You know that for the past 2 years, I've been the executive director of the Catalyst Institute, and it's for the delay and prevention of age-related diseases. And my stint ended in February. And I have lots and lots of great stuff coming up next for you guys in the world of entrepreneurship and later life income earnings. You can get all of this information, and you can get free online YouTube material on everything we've done at the Catalyst Institute. One of those things was that we had Dr. Matt Camberlin on, one of the leading geroscientists of the world, and he is doing something called the Longevity Dog Project, and you can see all of that on YouTube under Matt Camberlin, Longevity Dog Project or Catalyst Institute. What is he doing? He has over 100,000 pets, all dogs, owned by folks of every age, many of them seniors and many of them senior dogs. It is the largest domestic animal, mammal, longevity study in the world. And they're already finding things like rapamycin and other kinds of medications and protocols that are prolonging the lives of dogs that could very much relate to the lives of humans. Mm-hmm. And the FDA is involved. This is not one of these touchy-feely, we're all going to live forever stuff. It's really important. It just shows us the importance of understanding our domesticated animals. And perhaps nobody understands the issues and the challenges better than our guest, Jenny Hubbard. So let's go back, Jenny. You made two pitches here. I'm going to call them a pitch because I'm from the world of marketing. One is that older adults under the Senior Poor Project need some financial help to keep their pets. But the other is that senior pets often get placed for a lot of reasons, and they rarely get adopted. But you have placed. So what does it take? What does it take for an older or a younger individual to take on the companionship of an older pet?
Mm. Well, it takes, number one, time. And so who better to share their time than older adults. And so, you know, there's the time commitment. And then there's the financial commitment, because there's not only the medical needs, but there's also the food support. And a lot of the older adult dogs that we work with, and cats, they have gastro issues, so they're on prescription food. And believe it or not, a month's worth of prescription food for a pet can range anywhere from $500 to $600. And that's huge when you're on a fixed income or you fall under some sort of, you know, financial emergency financial issue, that an unexpected cost that you didn't anticipate. Now all of a sudden you're facing prescription food for your pet, and it very quickly spirals out of control. What we found is that it's interesting. The pets that are in the Senior Paw Project, one of the components of the work that we do is if one of our older adult humans is going into the hospital for some type of medical procedure, oftentimes they will waylay that procedure, or they will just go without and deal with the pain and agony of whatever it is that they need medical attention for, because they have nobody to care for the pet. And boarding costs, as anyone with a pet would know, they're extraordinary. And so we have a group of older adults who help us care for those pets of the older adult caregiver for a very quick period. It's 2 or 3 weeks, and we have found that, one, the older adults who's fostering these animals and bringing them into their home for that period of time have the time, the attention, and an abundant heart to be able to care for that pet, and the older adult who the pet's caregiver has now gone in, received the medical attention that they needed, and they're out of rehab faster than their counterparts, because they have the emotionally, they can focus on their own healing and their own well-being, because they know that they have a pet that they're going home to. The thought that some of these folks that are part of the project, the only option for them was to relinquish their pet into the shelter system. And we've had a few cases where the pet was put into the shelter system with the older adult caregiver hoping against hope that pet was going to be there when they got out of their knee replacement. That's a horrible place to be at, and totally unnecessary when we have other, their counterparts, their peers, oftentimes in their neighborhoods, that are able to provide care to that pet and a loving place for, you know, a small amount of time.
Well, that
really
takes a village.
Helping neighbors. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's what it takes a village. That's what it takes a community. And, you know, it's so interesting here, because we talk about life purpose. Why is it that older adults have to work so hard to find life purpose? Well, it's very simple. Because after a certain age in our culture, the world really doesn't expect anything of you. It expects you to be either okay on your own, or we'll give you a handout. This is for the older adult. But guaranteed to you, your pet expects something of you. Your pet expects you to be there and feed them and pet them and be on the bed with them. And you have somebody who needs you. And brother, is that important? Is that motivating for life? So it is not just anymore saying, oh, an older person shouldn't have an older pet because it's too sad or too expensive. Just almost the opposite.
Absolutely.
You go where you're needed, you will have a better life. Two very quick thoughts, though, I think everybody needs to have. My old life was as an attorney, don't hold that against me, and it was a trust and estates lawyer, and there are plenty of clauses that you need to have in your will or your powers of attorney if you have a beloved pet who might outlive you, and you can make your donations to organizations like the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation and its annual animal sanctuary right in your will. And even before you're gone, in your powers of attorney if somebody's taking over. So don't forget that there is a money issue here, and if you're looking for charity, you got one. If you're looking to protect your pets, if you're unable to, then you take care of that. That's extremely important work for you to do in your future planning. And one other very small thing, Today, a lot of people, particularly older, are going into over 55 communities, and many of them do not allow pets. And people will say, oh, I don't have a pet. I'll never have a pet. Well, think twice. You might. You might have a pet in 10 years, in 15 years, and then you'll be sorry. So do not go into a community that does not allow pets. If they don't allow pets, they probably have not thought through issues of aging anyway, and you're not going to age very well there. So there you go. All right, now let's get back. We discussed the fact that the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation was really the result of a terrible tragedy. Of course, it happened in Connecticut. Many of you will remember from the newspapers, the senseless, I guess all senseless, but this particularly senseless shooting in Connecticut, terrible tragedy, brought Sandy Hook community together. Many of you would like to know how that was done. Jenny makes it easy. Oh, I left a word out in an obituary and everything came from that. Not exactly.
Not exactly.
So when we come back, I would like you to tell that part of that story, which is in general what it took. As I said, what does it take to have an older pet? What does it take for a family, for family members, for a community? Not like I work with the United Nations, but grassroots, to create a foundation for any cause. Don't you guys go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, when we come back, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, again, for the website.
Okay.
And then for the story. Okay?
Great. Okay.
Great. Still, we're ready. Well, are you resetting the clock? Is that what?
Oh,
I said we're ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh, okay, very good.
Okay. While he's doing that, Jenny, does the Senior Paws Project... Oh, okay, now we have to be quiet.
Okay. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about money, yes, healthcare, health, wellness, beauty, fashion, and anything else that has to do with successful aging. And we have so many programs, so many free webinars and seminars, books of every type. You can take a look on Amazon. You can see How Not to Go Broke at 102. You can go on to the Retirement Income Explosion website, just retirementincomeexplosion.com, and you can also find out so many ways to increase your income after retirement. We're working on business entrepreneurship, creating Business Authority 55+, and of course we have Generation Bold Podcast. You can listen to it on adrienneberg.com. We have 4 years of archives. But better for us if you go to iTunes or Spotify or BizTalk Radio and subscribe. It's always free, but it tells the world that we are being listened to as older adults. So find out even more on adrienneberg.com, and you can also read our blog. Now, getting back to Jenny Hubbard. Jenny Hubbard is the executive director of an organization called the Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation, named for one of the little girls that was senselessly shot and killed during the Sandy Hook crisis in Connecticut. One of the many repercussions, in this case a positive one, was the creation of the foundation, and under that the rubric that we're talking about right now, which is the Animal Sanctuary and Senior Paw Project. Now, you guys hear about this. You hear about people honoring an individual, creating a foundation, and it seems almost like a miracle that they're creating something out of whole cloth, and it just happened. But it didn't just happen. So, Jenny, what did it take? What did it take from you as a family and the community to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. it took a lot of purposefulness and staying focused and true to our mission and honoring the memory of Catherine. And in a lot of instances, being able to say no, to make sure that we remain steadfast in honoring the human-animal bond, which at times was very hard because we were also grieving at the same time the death of my daughter. So it was not a, it just sort of happened. It was hard work and staying focused and mission-driven and really relying on the community of being courageous enough to ask the questions of the organizations that were like-minded and had really had the answers. There, I spent the first year of the formation of the foundation learning from other organizations, other animal welfare groups, and working with the town and understanding the nonprofit world that, you know, and putting my time and attention behind learning and listening, and being able to make those decisions that at times were hard to make, and at times having to push myself through when all I really wanted to do was just stay in bed. And
yep.
I think that our world, in a lot of ways, you mentioned it a little bit at the onset, that you know, we kind of give people permission to hide under a rock and or not produce when there is so much good that can come out of tragedy, but it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of courage.
Certainly does. Now, first, let's get your website again, because there's a lot of information and material on that. And then I want to talk a little bit about how you created your mission. You'll see why I'm so fascinated by that. But first, what's the website that everyone can learn more, make donations, get information about their own pets, really think through the life of their own future as pet owners? Tell us your website.
Of course. It's cvhfoundation.org. So Catherine Violet Hubbard, cvhfoundation.org.
So here's an interesting question to me, and I want to make it interesting to everyone. I started as a big surprise when I was asked to form a foundation, and that was right before COVID struck. In fact, it was February 8th of 2020. And I just came back from Argentina and meeting with one of the ministers on aging in Argentina for the United Nations, get a phone call. We want to start. Would you like to be the executive director of a nonprofit that doesn't exist yet? So that's how much we have in common, Jenny, because you are also the executive director of a nonprofit that didn't exist.
It's a great story.
But it's true, right? You were.
Yes.
So
yes.
You made it exist. I know. So I had to do it, only I had a boss. But the problem was that what was their big mission was to have a live conference on geroscience, and then COVID struck.
Yeah.
So you can imagine. So it was 2 years of chaos. But I could tell, and we did it. We did it. We had two huge conferences, 1,000 people attending each, 80 speakers, 4 days. I'm very proud of that. But what I'm not so proud of is how much discussion and hours were put in to determine our mission. Mm. And I can tell you guys listening that determining your mission is very similar to determining what business you're in if you want to be an entrepreneur. It's the same thought process, and it's the same heart process, and it's the same fights and the same arguments. Now, let's say you don't want to start a foundation. You're not interested in entrepreneurship. All you want to do is find your life purpose. It's the same thing. Mm. It's the mission. Once you get that, almost everything else follows. So let's go to you.
Yeah.
At the Catherine Violet Hubbard, how much discussion was there about mission? Because it's a particular mission, the human-animal bond. Who came up with it, and were there any fights or discussions over it?
Absolutely. It was a constant. It took us a year. It took us a year to really narrow down what exactly are we, what do we stand for, and what are we going to do? We spent 2013, like I said, talking to people, going out, making site visits, finding out where we could best serve our purpose, and really identifying that for us, the best way to honor Catherine, what Catherine stood for, and what her life stood for, was making sure that animals knew that they were safe and that humans were kind. And so in following this sort of principle of what I think best described Catherine, we had a lot of heated conversations around how does that look like, and how does that work unfold, not only now, but far into the future, well after we're gone. What is the best way that we could make an impact and still maintain that honoring of Catherine's memory? And so when we narrowed it down to we honor the human-animal bond, it becomes very simple in making any sort of decisions and programs that are launched, because if it doesn't in some way honor the bond that exists between humans and animals, we don't do it. It's so, for me, if there's not a strong mission in place and one that is easily conveyed, it's not worth doing the work behind it, because you will get so far off course and all of a sudden find yourself down a road that what you set out to do is not at all where you end up. It's those 3 degrees course corrections along the way. So for us, coming up with what exactly are we going to do and what exactly are we going to stand for is what we did before we moved further. And if that was going to take 2 years or 3 years, we did not put a timeline on it. We just said, let's really figure out where we fit into this world of animal welfare, because we knew we wanted to protect the animals that Catherine loved. And the way that we do it is we honor the bond that exists between the humans and that care for them and the animals that we care for.
You know, this is such a metaphor for life in general and life purpose. I'll give you just this fast story before we end our segment, and then when we come back, we'll really talk about what's next here. This business, as I say, of life purpose is very strange, because most people have had a family that they had to care for one way or another, a job, a career, whatever it was, a business, and then they're put out in the proverbial pasture, and then they're told, now that you're out the pasture, you should have a life purpose. And they're struggling. They struggle to find that mission. And once they find that mission, and we teach that, we teach how do you find that mission, once that everything falls into place for a while. Now, this is the interesting part of what you're saying here, Jenny. You're looking forward, and in our next segment, we're going to look forward together. But what an older adult needs to do, if they feel ennui, if they feel depressed, if they feel that they are no longer in control of their own life, is to look back a little bit and to ask this question. Am I on mission? What did I intend to do in the first place? And has my health, my money, my family, moving, new technology, taken me off course? And ask yourself, does that mission still hold? If it still holds, get back on course, and you will find an entirely new dimension to your future by looking back to the past and asking, does it still hold? And I can make that for little things. You have a closet full of junk. Does it still hold? Does the reason that you got it in the first place apply today? If not, get rid of it. If yes, cherish it and take it out of the closet. It is such a metaphor for reinvigorating yourselves as you age that Jenny is telling us in the context of something else, which is creating that nonprofit. You have to do the same thing. When we come back, we're going to ask that great question that I love for foundations, particularly ones that are already in almost middle age, because it's 2022 already, which is, what's next? Don't you guys go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da, da 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 da.
Okay, so I'm very interested in this, and we have a lot of philanthropists out there, a lot of people who are also volunteers. So they're interested in all these things. And you've sustained this for quite a while. I do want to talk about some of the other things you do. That would be the first thing.
Okay.
And then, is it getting stale? Is fundraising still very available? I mean, I don't know. I think I must get 20 letters a day asking me for money. So that's a tough one. And what your plans are for the future. Now, because it's our last segment, is there anything that you would like to cover that you didn't cover, other than some of the other things that you do, which is what I'm going to ask you now?
No, this has been great.
Great. Okay, Stu, we're ready to go. Now we have to be quiet again.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation World, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. And you know how many times I have told you about my mother. Great inspiration in my life and in the life of so many of my my friends who became presidents and vice presidents of major corporations, who went out and started their own big million-dollar businesses. Me, who had the guts to abandon a really good career in law to go into what my mother said, show business. You go into show business. But, yeah, I went into show business and television, and it was all because she would say, my money's on you. And tell everybody, my money's on you. And that was all that it took to give courage and encouragement to people. So please remember that a word or two from you that encourages anyone, even a stranger, is going to have positive repercussions. I mention her not only because it's Older Americans Month, but because she was born May 21st and had an animal named Sabra, who was a beautiful gray French poodle. And this dog lived for many, many, many decades. And then when she lost the dog, she herself on her own had a humane event letting him go, and then came to stay with us a little bit because it was very sad. And I'll tell you, Jenny, I had two cats, Gilbert and Sullivan, and they lived for 22 and 23. Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. And they lived for 22, 23 years. And certainly very much in my heart. But the fact is that you're doing very, very good work over at Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation, not just with Senior Paws Project and the Animal Sanctuary, but other things. So tell us a little bit more about how you've expanded what you've done since it began in 2013.
Sure. We have... the state of Connecticut in 2014 conveyed by unanimous decision of the legislature 34 acres for the creation of the sanctuary. And we made a decision at that point to launch programming in conjunction with fundraising efforts for the Capitol build, because the 34 acres is beautiful and it's pristine, but there are no buildings on it. And so we started... looking at different ways that we can engage with the community and provide services in addition to the Senior Paw Project. And so we do educational curriculum. We were pre-COVID, we were in the schools. We have K through 6 STEM curriculum that teaches kids in the science labs the importance of caring for the environment and the creatures that call it home. We have done a ton of property, habitat conservation and restoration on the property in preparation for the build. And so we have animal care, we have education, where we've educated probably 70,000 kids so far. And
wow.
We have this massive pollinator initiative that after a three-year habitat restoration, we're now working with one of our local universities where they're doing a habitat study. I just love to say it. It's an entomological biodiversity study where they are looking at the impact of the work that we've done. So above and beyond anything, we are really creating a complete place at the sanctuary where all creatures, regardless of whether they're a companion animal or a wildlife creature, know that humans are kind, and that they're safe.
You know, this is, again, I'm going back to the metaphor for life type of thing that you're doing. one reason that people do not pick a charity and really go full force or even give their time, or they don't pick a life purpose. They'll say all the time in our coaching sessions, oh, I like so many things. Mm. I like so many things. I don't want to limit myself. So meanwhile, they do nothing.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that. Even people who want to write a book, oh, I have so many topics, I don't know where to start. Here's the point. Look at what's happening over at Catherine Violet Hubbard Foundation. They picked a very, very, what sounds like a narrow mission, the bond between animals and humans. And look where they've gone with it. All kinds of places, wide and deep. Don't be, you are not narrowing yourself by honing in on a focus. If you stay true to it, it could take you anywhere all over the world. So I congratulate you with regard to that. Again, before we talk a little bit about your next steps, give us the website one more time.
Sure. It's cvhfoundation.org.
So, you know, being in the world of nonprofit myself, we used to do a podcast called Not-for-Profit Exchange, where nonprofits would get on the show and teach each other some good habits and what's working. So you've been around a while. And in fact, that in itself is a big accomplishment. A lot of nonprofits, like new businesses, fold. They don't get the funding.
Yeah.
So what's the secret there? The secret of the funding and the staying fresh and your plans for the future on all of this.
Mm-hmm. So our fundraising success has been that we don't ask often. So many people who contribute to the foundation know that when they give or when we ask, it's for a specific purpose. And I believe the reason that we have been able to sustain our supporters and donors is because we are very grateful. There is always a thank you for whatever contribution we receive. We like to say here at the sanctuary that a contribution of $10 is $10 that we didn't have yesterday. And I believe because we are very transparent with where we are spending money and where we need money, we've been able to sustain for 9 years. We've raised $6.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm speechless. And that's a lot for me to be speechless.
Well, I think people just want to know that, one, their generosity is seen and appreciated. So it's very, very important for me that people know that we appreciate and are grateful for every, they can choose to donate to a million different organizations out there, and the fact that people would choose to support our work and entrust the money that they've hard-earned means a lot. And they have every right to know how we're using their support. So we are very transparent with how we spend money, and we've been very thoughtful in how we launch programs. What's next for us is a huge capital build. It's an $8 million project to build two facilities on the property to be able to support our programming. We're halfway there. We've raised four. We've paid for everything. We carry no debt. And this last four will allow us to put walls up and continue to grow our programming. Right now, everything we do is under tent and in borrowed spaces. And we are at a point in our programming where we're having to turn people away. And so programs, we just had to cancel one of our free community workshops for the weekend because we're expecting extreme heat, and we can't expect people to bring animals. It was called Goats Galore, and we can't expect goats to come out when it's going to be 100 degrees. Having a building would have changed the whole trajectory of our programming. So that's what's next for us. If we can create these two, it's a human building and an animal building. If we can build those in the next year and a half, then we are going to continue to move forward and continue to grow and provide services back to everybody in our community.
Well, you know, that is so wonderful and so important. And two quick things to end. First of all, goats. You said a magic word. My husband loves goats. He always wanted to have a goat. And I ended up with a very, very good friend who is a volunteer over here in Palm Springs at Living Desert. And what does she do? She takes care of the goats.
Yeah.
So we so we're going to now be insiders in the world of goats, finally. And it only took him 74 years to get himself a goat. So he got my goat many times, but this time he's going to have his own. So here we go. You never know. That's in the never know world. In the other world is this not-for-profit exchange that I did with a co-host, Pat Bowes, one of the leaders in nonprofit consulting. And she said, Adrian, we're going to have a show on saying thank you. Just like you said, right? I thank them.
Yeah.
I said, you're going to have a show on saying thank you. Doesn't all the nonprofits thank their volunteers and their donors, their board members? And she looked at me and she said one very simple word. No.
No,
I was floored. But it was true. They did not actually thank. Oh, everybody knows we're grateful. Well, not everybody knows you're grateful.
You have to actually say it.
Yes. They know. No, they don't know. So turn to somebody that you love, you guys. They may not know you're grateful either. It doesn't have to be a goat, and it doesn't have to be a charity. Thank somebody. It could be the guy next door that you wake up with every single morning. They not know. Say thank you. And I want to thank you. This has been Jenny Hubbard, and she's been such a wonderful guest of the executive director of Catherine Violet Hubbard Annual Animal Sanctuary, part of the foundation, doing so much good work and something that you could take as a guiding light for any of you. As I say, the last thing I say in every one of my shows, which is, get out there, kids, and make it happen. She certainly did. Okay, so wasn't that fun?
That was fun. So thank you so much. This was great.
It is fun. So let me tell you what we do with it, and then I'll let you go. Of course, we put it on iTunes and Spotify and all that. We put it on BizTalk Radio, and they sometimes do have it on terrestrial radio. We put it on our website on the homepage for the week that it airs, and then we put it on the website as an archive and just stays there. You can hear a lot of our shows there. We also make a very small 2-minute video out of this. We actually have a device that takes your words and does 2 minutes lighting up each word in a color. It becomes a video. And the reason we do it is we can then put that on YouTube, and so can you, and you can also post it. So it's a little video of your words posted on any kind of social media, which we do use Twitter and Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn. So it's a nice exposure. What we want to do is have you use it in any way, shape, or form that you want, whether it's posting it or a website or emailing it saying, hey, I was on, or telling your board or whatever, let everybody know, whatever it is, your newsletter, any way you want to use it. It belongs to you. Do not ask us for permission. Just go and do it.
Oh, thank you.
If it strikes your fancy in any way. And it's good for us, and people know we're there. And, of course, we want you to be heard. And that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
I know this was very, very good. And whoever sent, I think it was Jocelyn sent this to me. And I'm so grateful to her, actually, for having done that. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.